This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it is. And we've been cooking 2 hours down, one more to play with. Ty Butler going to 3 o'clock. You know the vibes. I'm on Twitter at Ty D. Butler, Instagram as well. We're here, baby. 800-919-3776. There's so much going on in the sports world. The Yankees' first pitch is 5 minutes away as Clark Schmidt gets set to take on J.P. France. The Yankees going for the split. Shout out to Michael Kay back on the call today. We heard from him on Thursday, then Apple TV happened and Fox happened. So now Michael back on the call. Excited to listen to him on the broadcast. And then should be back on the K-Show tomorrow. So we'll get his thoughts on what has been a prosperous, should get his thoughts. We'll see if he's back tomorrow. Should get his thoughts on what his what's been a prosperous weekend for the Yankees, and I'm excited about it. I came into the season with, you know, lessened expectations, but I asserted that, you know, I was still going to enjoy it because you might get one crack at this thing with Juan Soto. So the triumvirate of Soto, Judge, and Cole, if they're all healthy and at their apex, is good enough to win a championship. So far, the health is a bit of a question, right? Because Cole is out for at least 2 months. That's going to be an injury. We're monitoring the rest of the season. Even when he comes back, he could be electric for 4 months, and we're still going to be concerned that the very next pitch he throws will be the last one for the next 2 years. So you've got that happening. Judge off to a little bit of a slow start. I feel like his timing might be off because he missed some time in spring training. But, I mean, shout out to Oswaldo Cabrera. That dude is taking advantage of being put in the lineup because LeMahieu's out. He's got the injury to his foot. So he's going to miss some extended time. Oswaldo Cabrera is taking advantage of it. You've got Volpe, looks the part, had some struggles last year. He's come in matured, poised, playing the position well. Verdugo, they've added some contact hitters to the lineup, which is something that has to excite you because we're so used to these strikeout guys. But insert in Verdugo, and then of course Juan Soto. There's no, like, you know, getting acclimated to wearing the pinstripes. There's no, you know, transition period. How is he going to handle the big lights of New York City? That dude is already raking. He had two game-changing plays so far already in the season in the first three games. Gunned out the guy at, forget who it was that he gunned out at home plate, but that was Thursday that helped the Yankees win the game. And then last night, he hits the go-ahead home run. So, you have to love what you're seeing from this team. Are there some question marks? Of course. But two things can happen at once. I can enjoy what I'm watching and still look at certain things like the rotation that if they don't get to the level that they're expected to, that will be the reason why. But right now, I'm fully basking in the emotions of, if they've played three games with the Astros to start the season, they've won all three games. They haven't just won all three games. All have been in comeback fashion. So take that, Houston. Mets, meanwhile, did lose the first two games of this series with the Brewers, and right now they're down 1-0 in the bottom of the first inning, so they're looking to get on the board. And the biggest news that's come from this weekend is the fireworks. They are already going off, and we saw Rhys Hockins annoy McNeil on Friday. Rhys Hockins made himself look like a total loser by waiting until he got back to the dugout to decide that he wanted to answer the theatrics of Jeff McNeil when he was in his face and had a chance to do that. But then yesterday, Yohan Ramirez throws behind Rhys Hockins, who has just been just destroying the Mets this weekend. And Baseball Today announced that he has been suspended for three games. Carlos Mendoza suspended for one game. He's serving that suspension today, but Ramirez is going to appeal that. I think it's a bad suspension. Can't be worse than what what's the guy from the Blue Jays' name? I just said his name earlier.
Genesis Cabrera.
Can't be worse than him mushing a guy in the face who also got a three-game suspension. So there you have that. We'll keep you posted on the Mets. We'll keep you posted on the Yankees. And then there's basketball. We got the Knicks in a pretty big game tonight against Oklahoma City. The Thunder, that might be the best story in basketball this year. I mean, their average age of their starting lineup is what, 22.6, and they are in contention for the number one seed in the Western Conference, led by SGA, who I think is second or third in the MVP voting. Giannis has been incredible. Jokic is going to win it. But second and third, I feel like could be a toss-up between Giannis and SGA. But the Knicks, big game tonight because of what happened on Friday. And it was a gut-wrenching loss, right? Because you're watching it. And even when you went down 21, you felt like there's no way San Antonio is going to be able to keep this up. I mean, they've won 17 games. They were just red hot from three. Lee got to as much as 21 points. And then Jalen Brunson did what Jalen Brunson has been doing all season long, and that's carry this team on his back en route to a 61-point masterpiece and one of the all-time great Knick performances in franchise history. That's how great he was. You were watching that game, and even Breen is saying, this is one of the all-time great moments in franchise history. That is a stellar performance. But unfortunately, came up small, overtime period, because Victor Wembanyama, I mean, just is sensational. And his ascension is one of the best stories of the NBA season. You could argue it's number one as far as individual players go. Because if I'm not mistaken, I was at the game for his debut at MSG. His first shot, I think, was an air ball. And then Friday night, he hits that clutch three as time expired in overtime, putting the finishing touches on a 40-point, 20-rebound, 7-assist performance to go along with the block. And big game after big play after big play, giving the Spurs their first three-game winning streak of the season. And look, if I'm a Spurs fan, it's rough to endure how bad the team has been the last few years. And that transition coming out of, you know, a fundamentally sound group to an incredibly young and inexperienced team that's making a bunch of mistakes, that has to frustrate you. But the future is bright when you look at how good already this kid is. He's already one of the 10 best players in basketball. Like, if I gave you just everyone's a free agent, let's just pick players. Everyone's a free agent for the next, we got to go 3 years. We keep our team together for the next 3 years. How many names are you taking over Wimby right now? Not too many. Not too many. But the Knicks look to rebound from that just horrifying loss today against Oklahoma City. And here's the quandary. Feels like that dream of the two seed is dead. Milwaukee gets the win last night over Atlanta. So I just want to pull up the standings real quick. The Knicks are now 2 games back in the loss column from the Bucks, but it's really 3 games because the Bucks have the tiebreaker. The positive part about that is you get to play the Bucks again next weekend, so you get to make up some ground, but feels like the dream of that two seed is dead. The Cavs won a thriller at home over the Sixers, so the combination of that win and the Knicks loss means that the Knicks are now the 4 seed, but the Knicks do own the tiebreaker over Cleveland. Here's your upcoming schedule, though. Got the Thunder tonight. Then you go to Miami to play the Heat. Excuse me. Then after that, you got the Kings. The Kings just learned that Malik Monk has a knee injury that's going to sideline him for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So the guy who's favorite to win the sixth man of the year, that's a big blow. Him not being there makes that game easier, though, for the Knicks. Then you go to Chicago to play the Bulls, to Milwaukee to play the Bucks, back to Chicago to play the Bulls. Then you play the Celtics. So it's a tough stretch coming up for the Knicks. 5 of their next 7 games against playoff teams, including 3 against legitimate title contenders. So here's the quandary. And it's not that players are thinking this way, but as a fan, you do want to be the highest seed possible. But getting that number 3 seed could mean a rematch with the Heat in round 1. But then it also means you're on the opposite side of the bracket from the Celtics. You want to avoid them as long as possible. Because as much as I say that I just don't believe in the Celtics, they're obviously still a great team. And they're pacing to be an historically great regular season team that you don't feel great about playing in the playoffs if you're the Knicks. Staying the 4-5 matchup, now you're looking at a possible date with Orlando, who I don't think, even though they've handled the Knicks well during the regular season, they pose no shot. They're no threat. So that's the quandary. So I asked someone who covers the Knicks today, what's the deal on OG? What's the deal on Randle? Because, I mean, it's getting late early. Like this, we thought Randle was going to come back and be able to get some regular season games under his belt, get him with some momentum going into the playoffs. And, you know, Tom and, you know, Thibodeau's going to speak tonight to give us an update, but Randle still needs to be cleared for contact. And OG's now waiting for that swelling to subside. So like, this isn't just, you know, two question marks. These are two of your three best players. And if you have any shot of a long playoff run, it starts with Brunson, but he can't do it alone. You need your best players available to you. Obviously, right, Ty? Like, that's, you know, obvious. But with Randle and OG, those can be series changers. That's the difference between you possibly getting bumped in round one when you're playing the same team seven times over the course of 2 weeks. They can figure out patterns and your strengths and weaknesses and expose them. Like, it's not going to just be, you know, these regular season games where you're playing inferior opponents and, you know, you may have the rest advantage or motivation levels may be different and varying. You're going to play the best teams 4 to 7 times over the course of 2 weeks. And if you don't have Randle and OG at 100%, you're operating at a massive disadvantage. Here's the importance of OG Anunoby. With him and Brunson on the court, the Knicks are 14-1. Well, how's their offensive rating? Oh, the best in basketball. Well, tell me about their field goal percentage. Oh, yeah, that's also the best in basketball, along with the best in basketball defensive rating and opposing field goal percentage. So we're seeing those dividends paid on both ends of the floor. Randle gives you that scoring punch, gives you that interior presence, rebound in the basketball. And I know Knicks fans aren't in love with him, but the fact that, like, you'd rather have him, like, you can't argue that. You can have the opinion that he needs to be a better playoff performer, but you'd love to see him get the opportunity to do that. And I'm just starting to get concerned that we're not going to see him the rest of the way. I hope that's not true, but, I mean, it's getting late early. I would love to see what this team looks like with everyone healthy in their proper roles, where it's not the Brunson or bust offense. It's not, you know, Josh Hart when he misses shots. That becomes more magnified. Josh Hart's not there to be a scorer. He's there to do everything. Dante DiVincenzo not being asked to be their second best player. He's been great as their second best player, but I want to see him in the role that he was designed to be. As Soto picks up another hit, like, this dude is just he's an unbelievable baseball player. Yankees, one man on, one out in the top of the first inning, going for the sweep in Houston. I want to see what the Knicks look like when teams can't just double Brunson and take the ball out of his hands. I'm just afraid that we won't be able to see that all come together before the regular season's over. So that's the basketball point on. If you want to hit us up, 800-919-3776. Oh my God, the Jets made a big trade on Friday. I was excited. Really excited. So before we get to the trade, how silly is it basking in over-unders before we even get to the 7 rounds of a draft? So the Jets over-under comes in at 9.5 wins. The Giants are at 6.5. It's silly. I mean, we don't know what these teams will look at, but whatever. I'll play along. For the Jets, after the wave, that initial wave of free agency, and the marquee names weren't being signed, I was livid. Why am I livid? Because of that. When you are coming out of the disaster that was last season, the medicine to that is big splashes. Right? You get into a big argument with your wife. What's the medicine to that? All right, let's go on a fancy date. Let's go out to a restaurant. Let's go to Turks and Caicos. And Joe Douglas wasn't operating in those waters. He said, I am going to be a silent assassin. It's not all flashy, but it's been effective. High risk because of injuries and age, but potentially high reward. So Tyron Smith, John Simpson, Morgan Moses, those are your offensive line additions. If they're just average, that is a massive improvement from last year. Mike Williams has a high ceiling if he's healthy, and he says he's going to be ready for week one. He then becomes the number two receiver on your roster, and I mean, I don't even think it's close. Add some pieces on defense, and then Friday comes, Hassan Reddick, you trade for him, one of the best pass rushers in football in a contract year, so an extra layer of motivation, bringing that winning culture to the locker room, and we know they desperately need it. So I'm excited about it. When Jadeveon Clowney decides, you know, he's going to Tennessee, when you get Bryce Huff going to Philly, the Jets needed to fill that hole, and Joe Douglas deserves credit for improving this team. ahead of the draft, where there's going to be more work to be done. We'll see what they go with Brock Bowers, or they take an offensive lineman, they trade back to get more pieces. Regardless, they put themselves into positions where they have the ammunition to just do what they want to do. Like, I'm almost fine with anything that they do, as long as they don't draft someone on defense. Like, you take the offensive lineman, I'm good with it. You want to draft the tight end, I'm fine with it. You want to trade back, get some more pieces, I'm cool with it all. I'm good with that. Douglas and Saleh are both on one-year deals, which is a gift and a curse. The gift is they're all in, operating with a sense of urgency that can net positive results quickly. The curse is going all in means, I mean, there's high risk to it. So if it flops, it's such a train wreck, and then the next regime has to come in and pick up the pieces. Meanwhile, for the Giants, it's just about getting their quarterback. If this team, as Vegas says, is over under 6.5, if this team wins 6 games next year, the only thing that's going to save them is drafting a quarterback. But that's the intrigue with the Giants. You got to see who the quarterback is. If you've allowed Saquon to go to your rival, Daniel Jones, they're clearly not sold on him, and they should not be. So we're just looking at them getting the next quarterback. And we finish off our potpourri with hockey, because the Rangers got another win yesterday. There was not a premium on goals, so they've been doing a fantastic job. Jonathan Quick, all-time winningest U.S. U.S.-born goaltender. It's another 50-win season for the Rangers. This past week, they clinched a playoff berth. And if you're a Ranger fan right now, the level of optimism has to be the highest it has been all season long. Now, there's always going to be that tendency to dive into the waters of, man, I just don't think we're going to win it all this year. Just because you're conditioned. I feel like a lot of New York sports fans are conditioned to think that way. You had high hopes last year, got bounced in round one. But there's an opportunity for this team to do something special. And right now, they look every bit as good as, you know, the record indicates. And there is, like, not a lot of arguments against them being the best team in the National Hockey League right now, which any Ranger fan would have signed up for, that being the conversation on March 31st. Tom Bauer, you're an Islanders fan.
That's correct, yes.
Any trepidation about the Rangers winning it all?
Everybody's going to hate me if you're an Islanders fan. Not really. And I will explain why.
Let me hear it. Because it's so far, it's a horrendous take. But you have room to persuade me, so I'm excited to hear this. Let's go.
So I never really grew up as a big hockey fan. So naturally, yeah, if you're a fan of one team and you're rivals with another team, then typically, obviously, as it goes, you should absolutely hate that rival. And I completely understand that take. But I don't really have that much of an emotional attachment to hockey or to the Islanders. Do I support the Islanders? Absolutely. Am I in every single game, like, emotionally that they are invested in? No.
It was hard to be. They stink.
Well, that's a good point, too. But my point here is I'm not that emotionally invested in the team, so I'm not really that emotionally invested in the rivalry.
All right, Harvey, save your control room from being just an absolute dumpster fire. If Rangers win the Stanley Cup, does that affect you at all emotionally? You're a Devils fan.
Yes, I'd be red hot. One of the best blessings that I have going for me so far is that I was born in 95. I've never seen the Rangers win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, you missed 90.
And I've never seen 94. The Cowboys win a Super Bowl either. So I've got those two going for me.
Ooh, I like the way you put a positive spin on life. That's very, very inspiring.
When the Eagles won all those years ago, I was like, I can't believe I'm living in a world where the Eagles win a Super Bowl. I was so angry at the Patriots that day. Mm.
So, but it would send you off your rocker if the Rangers...
Off my rocker. If last year my Devils beat the Rangers in 7, and then the following year the Devils likely missed the playoffs,
and then the Rangers,
win possibly the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup.
And now what happens if you have to work those games? Like, you have to be in the studio for those games. Do you call out sick?
No, I can't. I worked games 1 and 2 last year where the Rangers won both games 5-1.
No, but what if we get... Oh, and that sucks. But at least your team, you know, found a way to come back and win the series.
Thank God.
Now, what if we get to the Cup Final and it's a game 6? They're up 3-2. Like, are you pacing in the studio? How does that work?
Well, no, I got a handle the production or the broadcast.
You got to be professional.
I got to be professional, but angry.
But how do you separate your professionalism and your fandom?
That's a good question. I don't think you really can. I think you just swear a lot, and you just hope that that you forget it by the end of the day.
So now Don LaGreca, who does a tremendous job on radio for the Rangers, he has the game-winning call, Game 6, Stanley Cup Final. The Rangers win the Cup for the first time in 3 decades. Initial reaction upon hearing Don's call?
I'd be annoyed.
You'd be annoyed.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to be a great call.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best. It's going to be a great call. So now, on top of living through that, you've got to go back into the old skimmer, grab the audio of the call, listen to it to make sure you edit it correctly. Then you're going to have to play it during the post game.
And Don,
oh, man,
Don's
that's going to be a brutal
And Don's a Jersey guy. He was a Devils fan growing up, too.
Does he have a Devils tattoo?
I believe so.
Oh, man. So is Don, you know, rooting for – he has to be rooting for the Rangers to win. I mean, it's his job, right?
Absolutely.
So that's going to be – I mean, that's going to be conflicting emotions for him. But let's not lose the plot. You're going to have to sit there and endure that as a Devils fan.
Yeah.
It's not what you want, bro.
I don't think it'll happen, but
– it's not what you want. 800-919-3776. So we hit everything there. We went basketball. We went football. We went baseball. We hit on some hockey. So let's hear from you next. 800-919-3776. I said Clowney went to the Titans. I had the Titans on my mind, but it's he went to Carolina. Carolina's having a solid offseason. I had the Titans on my mind, but he did go to the Panthers. I should spurn the Jets. 800-919-3776. We will hear from you next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So, Harvey, you don't think that trading away Brian Burns and a fifth-round pick to the Giants for a second round and a fifth-rounder, is the Panthers having a good offseason?
No. They could have had 2 months for him last year, didn't
they? I was being sarcastic, and you took that literally. And that's what I was talking about last segment about Jadeveon Clowney going to going to Carolina, spurning the Jets. Quick update on baseball. Tom, how does it make you feel when you watch Stanton running out a double?
He scares me a lot.
Which is sad, right? Because this is an athlete who is supposed to be in the prime of his career. And he can barely run. He's only 34 years old. And the fact that you don't feel confident in his ability to just run the bases is very, very scary. But we just watched it again because Verdugo comes up, hits the ball deep to center field, and Stanton goes from second to third on a sack fly. So I will say that the Yankees, it's only 3 games. I don't want to overreact too much, but they're fundamentally sound, man. It's been a fundamentally crisp. They had some errors yesterday. Stroman had some unearned runs because of misfortunes by the Yankee defense, but just feels a little bit more crisp. And how good would it be, man, to start the season by going to Houston and sweeping the Astros? That's just an amazing feeling. Chauncey's in New York. What's up, Chauncey?
Hi, man. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Happy Easter, bro. What's up?
Yeah, thanks, man. Happy Easter to you, too. As sports fans, we're going to complain about officiating till the day we die. And I'm not really someone who likes to blame a game on officiating. Maybe if the Knicks don't go down 20, the officials don't play as much of an impact. But when we get that bad of a free throw disparity, you're telling me the 17-win Spurs didn't foul as much as, the elite defense Knicks. I mean, just one thing I hate about the officials is they should be going into these games with blank faces on the players, blank jersey numbers, blank names. They should not be calling the game differently depending on who's committing the foul or who is getting fouled. If Brunson is getting all these calls that Wembanyama was getting, I mean, maybe he would have had 80 points.
Let me ask you this, Chauncey. Did you complain in that game at the Garden that the Knicks won because of bad officiating against the Pistons?
The only reason I didn't complain is because we got the same treatment against Houston a few weeks before. So it was kind of like a makeup game. I don't agree with either of those calls, but it's just the way it goes.
And let's talk through this, Chauncey. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. The inconsistency when it comes to officiating will drive you crazy. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to, I'm above the fray. When I watch the Lakers, when I watch the Jets, when I watch the Yankees, and I feel like my team is victimized by bad officiating, then it's going to anger me. But my counterpoint to you, Chauncey, is you brought up the Spurs have won 17 games. Should you be down 21 to the 17-win Spurs?
That's a good point. By no means should they have been down that much.
And also,
that's another point I want to get to is
you had the Hartenstein flagrant foul on Jetty Osman that in no way possible should have been a flagrant foul. The only reason why it was called a flagrant was because of the way Hartenstein fell. If you watch the play, if he just falls regularly and doesn't injure himself, there's no way that's a flagrant foul. And that's kind of a game-changing, momentum-swinging sequence. So, I mean, that's a big call in the game, too.
Right, I agree. But the way the officiating changed, when the Knicks were down 20, I had no problem with the officiating. It seems pretty even. It's only when they came back and tied the game, now we want to start calling all these ticky-tack fouls. Hartenstein lays his pinky on Wembanyama. The Knicks are in the penalty with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They're just gifting them free throws over and over and over again when Brunson is getting killed out there every single night. I mean, I want to ask you this, Ty. What do you think it is about certain players just not getting the same whistle? Do you think it's like a Brunson-Randall thing where they have a play style, so the refs may think they're initiating the contact? What do you think it is?
I don't think that's what it is, and I appreciate the call. I think that, I mean, fairly or unfairly, there is a such thing as a superstar whistle. And when you graduate to the class of a Jokic, a Giannis, a LeBron, a KD, Luka, you are going to get better treatment from the officials because they view you to be someone who's of that status that has earned the right to do that. Now, it can work against you. Like Giannis, because you brought up the physicality of it. Like what hurt Shaq, what hurts Giannis sometimes is that they're so physically imposing that they absorb the contact to such a degree where it doesn't lend itself to them necessarily getting the whistle that they deserve. So it can work against you. But I think I don't think there's this conspiracy against Brunson and Randall, but are we going to be dishonest and say that the best players don't get a more favorable whistle than those who are inferior to them? Of course not. Jose Trevino, nice little RBI bloop single, scores Stanton. Yankees go up 1-0, which I don't know if is a recipe for success because the success blueprint this series has been coming back from deficits. So they went down 4-0, went down 1-0, went down 2-0 the first three games of this series and came back. So now they're up 1-0. I don't know how I feel about this as I get into my, psychological bag here. But the Yankees up 1-0, runner still on the corners, and two outs, or a runner on first base, I should say, and two outs for our guy Oswaldo Cabrera. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening in baseball. The Mets down 2-0, but did scratch across a run. So that score right now is 2-1 in favor of the Brewers. Mets looking to avoid a sweep. But the Brewers right now have the bases loaded in the top of the third with one man out. So Tyler McGill is in some trouble. 800-919-3776. Quick break, right back to your calls. All right, here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, little Nicki Minaj, J. Cole. Yo, so Tom, why you ain't throw J. Cole and Nicki Minaj on those that list of artists you love from hip hop? What's up with that? I think it offensive.
Well, they didn't come to mind. Quite frankly, I haven't. I shouted out Biggie, but I didn't listen to that much of him. I guess I could say the exact same thing about J. Cole.
Yo, listen, Barbs, if y'all listening to the program, first and foremost, happy Easter Sunday to you guys. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Go at Tom Bauer in his mentions. I know his Twitter handle is difficult. He's got a bunch of numbers and letters that you can't quite figure out. But Tommy B369, he's the one that left you off his list of top hip hop artists he listens to. Nicki Minaj, probably the greatest female rapper of all time.
I agree
and
with that.
He dare not to list her. You know, it's one of the people he listens to. So, Bars, if y'all listen to the show, go at him heavy. Go at him heavy.
I'd rather you not, but
800-919-3776. So we left off the Mets. I got into some trouble. Tyler McGill did in the top of the third inning, bases loaded. Rhys Hockins at the plate. So it's getting spicy, but he induced a double play. So the Mets, bottom of the third inning, now trailing 2-1 to the Brewers. I want to see the Mets do well this season, man. Last year was like such a failure. All the hype that went into it, and it just deflated halfway through the season because the Mets were sellers at the deadline. The Yankees couldn't get out their own way. I want to see the Mets hang in it late. I want them to be a relevant story throughout the season. And the Yankees, you know, yes, like as a fan, do I want them to dominate the headlines? Sure, but I still want the Mets to be involved. I want them to be mentioned. I don't want to see them have a disastrous season. Their fans deserve better than that. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, I promise. I got a lot of friends who are Met fans, and it's fun to go back and forth. But baseball is just better in New York when both teams are doing their thing. Just as long as when they play the Yankees, they lose. But come on, Mets. Do something this season. 800-919-3776. So, Harvey, how about this? You ready?
Go on.
So I got a wedding coming up in Kansas City about 13 days from now. Right? And I did get a plus one. And the plus one does know the couple getting married. And I am involved with the romantically with the plus one. And by the way, so I'm paying for her plate. And at the end of the night, there's an expectation that, you know, something going to happen. So I get not all people can be me in the situation. But you've got to be better than that, bro.
I just want to tell everybody here that this man literally took the time just now to brag about himself.
How did I brag about myself? It's not about me. It's just the comparative to
all
you.
All I heard was, I got a plus one.
Yeah.
I got this.
It's not about me. See, this is what, like, you're not mature enough to have conversations like this. Like, I understand what's happening.
Big difference here, too. Not in your favor, Ty.
What's that?
You're talking about your wife while Harvey's talking about a good friend.
Come on, calm down, bro. Calm down. Oh. Everybody doesn't need that information. We got to
let
it live on its own.
Is it not the wife?
Okay. Of course it's her, okay. But I'm saying it sounds better just from the public standpoint. Like, if I'm comparing my situation to yours, I wanted to have it more of an even playing field.
Now, you said this is in Kansas City?
Yes, in Kansas City.
You got everything picked out or no?
Not yet. So the problem is, no, I got a reason, though. When you say picked out, you mean my outfit?
Yes.
Yeah. The problem with the outfit is that since I'm training for this half marathon in May, I've been experiencing some changes to the body. You know, I'm dropping weight. So I had to wait as long as possible to get fitted for this tux that I'm going with. I think I'm going to go with a nice baby blue suit.
Oh, so you're not going to match with the wife then with her dress?
No, we're going to be matching.
Okay.
So I'll have the baby blue on and she'll have some... Yeah, she'll have some. My tie, I guess, is gonna match her dress.
Three
so
pieces, right? Blues. Three piece suit.
We might go three piece suit. Come on, feeling good. We might go three piece suit.
Take off the jacket, put the vest on. Oof.
In this situation, she's the plus one. She knows the couple, and so she checks both the boxes. She knows the couple getting married, and she's romantically involved. Whereas in your situation, your lady who you're going to this wedding with is not checking any of those boxes. So. When's the wedding? April what?
April 20th.
So there's still some time to right your wrongs. There's still some time to get on the right side of history. You can let her know, like, hey, listen, I thought this over. I don't think it's best for you to attend this wedding with me.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but
I think that's still on the table. I think that can still happen. I think that can happen. But you're going the wrong direction. And I'm shocked that Tom, who's usually like level-headed, isn't on my side with this.
I am being level-headed. These are two completely different situations between you and Harvey. Right
okay,
now.
So just forget me for a moment. You think that this couple is excited about, like, the fact that all this money they spent on an intimate gathering to tie the nuptials, it's going to be family there, a bunch of crying, emotional roller coaster between the happiness and the. You know, the overwhelming feeling of tears coming down your face. You think that in the midst of all this, They want to know that the someone is a plus one who they don't know, and the plus one isn't romantically involved with the person that they invited. So they're just essentially throwing money in the sewer. You think they feel good about that?
I mean, listen, if you get the plus one...
It violates
one,
the rules of conduct for a wedding. No.
The rules are always evolving and changing for anything.
The unwritten rules.
Yeah, the unwritten rules of a wedding. Don't bring someone to the wedding as a plus one if you're not with them and if the person doesn't know them.
I'll tell you what. You can say that's an unwritten rule.
It's immature.
If the people who invited you to the wedding did not specify that, is that on you or is that on...
They shouldn't need to specify that if you're a functioning adult with a brain who's mature enough to understand decorum and how you operate in society.
Man, why can't we all just get along?
No, we can get along if you decide to change your behavior, bro. What I'm trying to do is improve your quality of life. I don't want you walking in looking crazy, man, because you know what's going to happen.
I'm going to look good.
When this couple like has... Because what happens is you start to talk about like, you know, people who attended the wedding, like who came, who showed up to the wedding that you expected to, who didn't show up that you expected to. Like, so you run through the roster, and then they're going to get to this name. Who's the person that's your plus one? Can we get a name?
Her name is Victoria.
All right, so they're going to go through the list. Harvey Cruz, oh, that's my guy, Harvey. Victor, who's Victoria? Oh, that's the person Harvey brought. Oh, Harvey's girl? No, it's not Harvey's girl. It was his plus one. Well, I don't know who Victoria is. Why was she his plus one? If one, we don't know her, and two, they're not in a relationship together. So now you become the topic of conversation on the honeymoon, on wedding anniversaries, at family gatherings, for all the wrong reasons. So I'm trying to have you avoid that. That's all I'm saying, bro.
Look, no matter what happens,
I'm looking out for you.
I appreciate it. I think it could be a funny story down the line.
Yeah.
Later
the
in
joke
life.
Is going to be on you, my friend. But I do, look, I commend you for the weight loss. You're looking good, man. You're posting your progress on the gram.
I'm taking initiative.
Tom told me today when you came into the studio, weren't smelling all that great. I don't know what's going on with
smelling
the body
odor. Smelling all that great.
Yeah, I said no such thing.
He said something about the body odor. Like, you realize when you're exercising, bro, you got to make sure you keep yourself smelling and looking good. Okay, my G? Okay?
Yes.
All right. There we go. 800-919-3776. Yankees up 1-0 on the Astros. Yo, if they sweep this series, am I going to be able to contain myself? I don't want to prematurely get excited.
You gonna throw a party?
It's just not throw a party, but it's the Astros, man. It's the Houston Astros. Winning a 4-game series against the worst team in baseball is difficult. Oh, you sign up for a split. I don't care how bad the team is. Yo, give me the split. You take the first three. All right, cool. I'll live with the loss today. They're up 1-0. Still a lot of baseball to be played. But if they sweep this series, man, I don't know. It's going to be hard to contain myself. We wrap this show next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Ooh, fire. This is the way we go out on Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter, everyone. Appreciate y'all tapping into the show. Ty Butler, we'll be back next Sunday. Start to get heavy into the NBA playoffs. Hit me up Twitter, Ty D. Butler. Instagram as well, 800-919-3776. Covered a lot on the show today. We went everywhere, and I love it. Beautiful day outside. Get a chance to go out there and have some fun. It's going to be raining the rest of the week, so enjoy it while you can. Wishing y'all nothing but love and, you know, just good times and good energy, positivity to all of your families out there. Brian in Orlando, I'm told, has a really good supporting argument for my side of the wedding talk when it comes to plus one decorum. Let's hear it, Brian.
Yo, what up, Ty?
What's good?
Hey, man. Big fan.
Appreciate
shout
you.
Out to Jose from Brooklyn. He cracks me up, man. And Spike, too. But anyways, yes. So check this out. So, number one, does he not have any, like love interest in anybody else, or he's just nothing, just as friends? That's number one.
Harvey, what's the answer to that question?
No, nothing. No.
Like nothing? You're not interested in anybody?
No.
Okay. So, let's say you take your friend to this wedding, and you happen to come upon a baddie, and you just like meet Ooh. Like the love of your life. How Ooh. Weird would that be to your girlfriend that's just a friend? And then like you're trying to like get with this other chick, like wouldn't that be kind of weird?
I don't know. You're putting a lot out there. I mean, nothing's happened yet. We haven't even, it's not even April yet.
Brian, but you just nailed it. The fact that Harvey doesn't think these situations through is why he's in the position he's in.
I'm living in the now. I take it as it comes.
Yo, appreciate the call, Brian. I mean, it's a good point, man. You got to plan for these types of things. I don't know what your motivations are. I don't know what you're looking to do. You know, at this wedding, what the goals are, but if that situation presents itself, it could be a turnoff to this, you know, potential candidate as far as your girlfriend's concerned. If she sees you rocking in there with another lady, bro, it's not cool.
I'll take these under advisement.
And also to wrap the wedding talk, shout out to the company. You know, Lonnie's always checked into the program. He says a wedding on 420. Is this a message being sent? Like, is this like a meeting of the stoners? Like, what are we doing here? Is this like the stoners convocation? What's going on here?
As far as I know, they're not stoners, but they picked the date.
You never know. Let's end the show with Dave in the car. He wants to talk some baseball. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, Ty? Let me just say this, man. I'm 57. I know you're a younger man, but I'm going to throw this question out to you. I think if baseball definitively finds out in the shadows there's any wrongdoing with Ohtani in this $4.5 million, if they don't act properly, maybe not in my lifetime, but in your lifetime, Ty, your generation will see a Stanley Cup, a World Series, a Super Bowl, an NBA championship that is won, and that will have to be taken away from the winning team because they will have found a player who tried to hustle the system through a big bet and help throw his numbers off so that the other team would win. I think that's the magnitude of what's happening with Ohtani now, no matter how baseball is playing it down. You tell me your thoughts on that. Is that a reality?
So here's the thing, Dave. I appreciate the call. Baseball is not going to be able to, you know, sweep this thing under the rug, right? If it comes out, and I don't want to criminalize the guy before we see the results and the details of this investigation. I think that's, you know, irresponsible to do. I get it's fishy. It doesn't pass the smell test, but let's let the due process play out because as it should be in the court of public opinion, innocent until proven guilty. But let's just go to what you just deemed the worst case scenario, and it's determined this guy was involved in gambling. Now everything's on the table. Like, there's nothing you can't dismiss. If we find out, whatever the case may be, that he at any point was involved in baseball games being gambled on, then there's no, well, of course it didn't go to this level. Like, everything's on the table. So now it impugns the integrity of your sport. Everything gets called into question as far as your product is concerned. It's bad for business. This whole gambling addiction is, you know, what everyone's warning us about, like how it's affecting the youth and how it's affecting sports in general. That's going to be intensified. And I think baseball will do the right thing because they're forced to. You got the feds investigating this thing now. So this is to a higher level. So they're going to uncover what they do, and then baseball is going to run their own separate investigation and be able to marry all those details together and arrive at what the conclusion is. But, I mean, this is not being going to be taken lightly. It's not going to be taken lightly. Something bad just happened. Tom, front and center, Tom.
Yeah.
You hear me? So you just put on my screen a solo shot for Altuve.
Yeah.
That made it 1-1.
That's correct.
Is this my fault? Because did I prematurely start celebrating the Yankees sweeping the Astros? Is this my fault?
No. They already won the series. So you can obviously talk about the sweep at that point. If we're earlier in the series, if it was like the second game, then yeah, I would say it was your fault 100%. But being that they've already won the series, I don't have any problem with that.
There you go. Finally, your first good opinion today. The first time you had a tick, that was correct.
It only took me until 30 seconds left in the show to do that.
Only took you to 30 seconds left in the show. Harvey, make good decisions, my friend. You know I love you, bro.
I'll do my best.
All right, that'll do it for us. Do we have anyone coming up after us? Or are we running to the network? I got the network coming up, but then tonight, 6:30 pregame for the Knicks and the Thunder. It's a big game. Knicks fighting for that number 3 seed. So our coverage begins at 6:30. I'll talk to y'all next week. Happy Easter to everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We'll do this again next week. Deuces, 98.7 ESPN.